Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey, we got a great show for you. It's not today, but no, actually it is today. We got lots to get to. Look, it's beautiful outside. Summer is back. Actually, it didn't leave. You know, Monday is the first day of fall, right?
I believe so, yes.
A week from today, it's actually officially autumn. So we got one final week of summer, and it looks like it's going to be sunny and 80 for like the next 5 days. That's great news. So we'll get to our crazy district attorney here. We'll get to SNL. There's some funny PC crap going on with them. We'll get to Mariano Rivera and get to all the Democratic candidates, Iran, President Trump, the New York Times. I just think this is going to be a major, major, major case that's going to be taught for years. The New York Times yesterday, listen, they're a fake newspaper. They're very biased. They're very slanted. But yesterday was the most fraudulent fake news we've ever seen in the New York Times. They printed a story making it look like an accuser had come forward against Judge Kavanaugh. Another accuser had come forward. There was no accuser anywhere. There was no woman accusing him of anything. There was nothing. There was a guy claiming that there was such a thing. And they described the guy in the story as nonpartisan, right?
Yeah.
Nonpartisan Max Steyer. Max Steyer is Hillary Clinton's lawyer. Max Steyer's wife was appointed to an Obama appointee.
Oh, see, he's not partisan, yeah.
Max Steyer runs some political organization. He's a Democratic activist. If you go to the site of his organization, it says, we're a nonpartisan organization. Go look at the board of directors, Susan Rice and company. It's all dirty, swamp Obama people. Max Steyer is a lifelong enemy, vicious enemy of Kavanaugh. They never pointed that out. They've been fighting and fighting and fighting for years. It goes all the way back to Whitewater, when Max Steyer was one of the Clinton attorneys defending Clinton in Whitewater. And guess who was working for Ken Starr? Kavanaugh, battling Max Steyer. So these two are bitter old enemies. Max Steyer made up this whole fake accusation. The Times ran it. Even the two reporters were on MSNBC last night trying to distance themselves from the Times story. Even they want nothing to do with this crime.
So the people that wrote it.
The people that wrote it were on Lawrence O'Donnell's show last night. Because the first question is, why did they leave out the fact there's no accuser and that the woman, this Max Steyer finally had to name a woman. They went to the woman and she says, I don't remember anything like that. I have no memory of anything like that ever happening. Why wasn't that in the story? Now, why wasn't that in the story?
Because it wouldn't be a good story.
So the two writers say it was in the story that they put it in and the Times editor pulled it out, removed it.
Really?
That's criminal. That's journalism criminal. Now, what is the only possible explanation for that? The New York Times, you got to give them credit for this. This is what lying, stinking weasels they are. The New York Times said it's always been their policy never to identify the victims.
Oh.
And that's why they pulled it out. Well, you could print that without the name.
Of course.
This is going to be in textbooks for you, although not in schools because schools are all corrupt, totally slanted, left-wing, fake schools, fake curriculum. But this is the worst we've ever seen. I don't know how the New York Times recovers from this. Remember that, who was that Jason, whatever, that reporter they had years ago, who was just making up stories?
Well, he won the Pulitzer Prize, didn't he?
Got the Pulitzer Prize for his unbelievable interviews where he'd go into the crack dens and interview these crack people. And then it turned out he never left the office. It turned out he never went anywhere. He made it all up. So, but this is even, that was different. That's at least for personal gain, okay? That you can accept, but this is trying to tamper with an election. This is just awful. Hey, by the way, our intelligence is now picking up that in the next election of 2020 election, you know, there was supposedly Russian tampering, and Mueller identified some actual Russian tampering with the election, but it was very minor. I know he said in testimony, it was sweeping and systematic. Yeah, but it was on a tiny scale. For instance, on Facebook, the Russians spent $100,000. Most restaurants in New York spend more than that on Facebook ads. It's $100,000 is nothing. Hillary was spending $1 million a month, so it's nothing. But they say in the coming election, it'll be China and Iran that will attempt this tampering.
Really?
Well, think about it. China would love to get rid of President Trump and go back to the swamp. The swamp always let China do whatever the hell they want.
Mm-hmm.
Let China steal all our intellectual property, steal our patents. So they would love to get Trump out, go back to one of these swamp people. And also think about it. Iran would love to go back to that Iran deal, the single worst document ever signed by anybody anywhere. Think about what they had under that Iran deal. If you read the Iran deal, they self-inspect and let us know if they find anything.
Yep.
There is a provision where we could inspect if we want to, but we have to give them 30 days notice before we inspect.
Yeah, right. That's a good deal.
So they would love to go back to that deal. I don't want to bore you to death with this Iran, Saudi Arabia bombing. Let me just explain it real fast. The Saudi oil fields were hit over the weekend, and it knocked out an enormous amount of their production. They claim that they'll have one-third of it back up probably in the next day or so. But here's the problem with the attack. And they keep saying drones. They're not talking about the drones that you see, those little drones. These are basically very sophisticated cruise missiles. These drones cost up to $200 million each. It's estimated now there were over 20 of them. So this is how much is that? $200 million times 20. We'll be here all day. Yeah, it's about $4 billion. It's a big attack.
Whoa.
It's a massive attack. They weren't all drones. Some of them were actual cruise missiles. So there were cruise missiles, very, very sophisticated drones. The big problem now, this is priority number one, is trying to figure out why the Saudi Arabia air defense failed. Air defense is supposed to stop all that stuff. They have $65 billion worth of air defense, most of it bought from us. That's one reason you got to be nice to these people. I mean, they may slice up a journalist once in a while, but $65 billion, that's a good customer. Hey,
yeah, the heck with that Khashoggi guy. He was expendable.
What are you
going
to do? $65 billion, that's a good sale.
All right, fine.
So, but the main problem, I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen here, but step number one, this is the most crucial step, figuring out why their air defense failed. Generals say they may have been using it incorrectly. They may have had it placed incorrectly. They may have not known how to operate it correctly. So before we do anything, if there's any kind of military strike, you would have to expect Iran to respond.
Sure.
So you can't do a military strike until the Saudis have fixed the air defense and they can make sure that it's working. Otherwise, you can't start any combat. So there's no military strike coming. They're looking. The one thing that they have absolutely proven with their intelligence is that the attack was launched from Iran. They're not 1,000% that it was all the Iranians doing it, but the staging ground for the attack was Iran. Now, that's got to figure out if anybody else was involved, and it could be. I mean, who's closer and works tighter with Iran than Russia? Russia would have the motive to do this because all Russia does for a living is sell oil and gas, and their economy's in trouble. And by knocking out these fields, you have dramatically increased the price of oil. So it helps. Nothing helps the Russian economy more than this attack. So they could be a part of this. So they know Iran was the staging ground. Now, here's the plan. First, they got to get this air defense stuff fixed. Is it this week is UN week or is it next week?
It starts this weekend, but president's here next week.
So next week is the big UN week where all the world leaders are here. That's where they'll present all the evidence to the UN that it was Iran. That's where they'll talk to world leaders, try to put together a coalition, and it's from that the military strike will be launched. Once they get people on board, other countries on board, and some kind of
UN.
Seems
like so un-Trump, you know? I mean, it's rational, it's thought out, planned ahead of time, as opposed to a rash decision.
He's always rational.
But locked and loaded, we're coming after you.
Yeah, no, but you see, you've got to study him he's always rational. But on the surface, there's tweets, there's insults, he's riling everybody up, starting fights. That's to keep you all busy. You know, you take the ball and you throw it, and the dog runs to bring it back to you.
Mm.
And then what's the first thing you do when he gives you the ball back? You throw it again. That's what he's doing with all of you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
That's what he does. He keeps you running. Go get the ball while he works on stuff. And he's a very anti-war, anti-military strike sort of guy. Always has been. So, but there will be some kind of military strike. Most likely it'll take out Iranian oil fields, Iranian oil storage, Iranian pipelines, And, of course, while you're over there, you try to hit their nuclear stuff.
Yeah, why not take
as much as you can? Try to take that out, too. One of the problems, we put all these sanctions on Iran and have been so crippling that their oil production is only half of what it used to be. I think they do 6 billion output. It's like a 3 billion. So we've cut down their production dramatically. And when you go blow up a lot of that stuff, a lot of the facilities, infrastructure, the production will come way down, totally crippling their economy.
But doesn't that start a war?
With Iran?
Yeah.
Well, they started the war, but now they'll do it strategically, and it'll happen slowly. So what else is going on? Oh, Mariano Rivera gets the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Does anybody deserve it more?
No, he does. He's a good guy.
Nah. Name a greater pitcher.
No. I mean, nobody's better than Mariano. I mean, in terms of being a closer.
Why aren't you excited about Mariano Rivera?
Well, I don't know. I'm a Yankee fan, and he's a great guy, but
great guy. He was the greatest relief pitcher ever in history. The single greatest pitcher in the history of the world. Granted, he can only do one inning.
But, I mean, did he change the world? I mean, is anything different because Mariano Rivera is here?
Yes. What would you have done without him? How many games did this guy win for you?
He got a couple of World Series. Blew one.
You will admit you've never seen anybody more fearless, cool under pressure than Mariano Rivera.
No, absolutely.
And that's why it was fascinating. The only other guy would be Donald Trump. The two of them together yesterday. I mean, these two are more cool under pressure than anybody ever in history. I thought it was a great moment. All right, you're not too excited.
Well, I mean, look, God bless him. Congratulations.
This is like you on Tom Brady. He's okay. Yeah.
All right, give him a medal, too.
Yes.
Why not?
Greatest quarterback in history. Wait.
After 5 years playing in the minors in 1955, Mariano made it to the big leagues.
Okay, that's another thing. 5 years in the minors? What didn't you see after year three that you sent him up there?
Well, you notice he said he's 1955. He kind of misspoke there.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear that.
After 5 years playing in the minors in 1955, Mariano made it to the big leagues.
Okay, well, you got to admit, he looks good for his age.
If that were true, he deserves
that. When did he come up? 1995?
95, yeah.
Oh, it was John Wetland. Remember John Wetland? Yeah, that was the closer, and Mariano was right before Wetland.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth was not unanimously elected. The Babe didn't make it? What was his problem? He did pretty good, too.
Yeah, that's one thing about this Hall of Fame. You get these sports writers together. What a bunch of idiots, these sports writers. Yeah. Babe Ruth, that wasn't unanimous.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, nobody better than him.
Not unanimous, but there's always some guy, like Mike Schmidt of Philadelphia. He's unanimous. But Babe Ruth, we got to think this over. So Rivera was unanimous, right?
On the first ballot, which that had never happened before.
Thank God you weren't voting.
Oh, I would have given him that. I don't know about the Medal of Freedom or whatever he got.
That's what it's for. It's always actors and athletes. That's who gets it. Yeah, right. It's for, if you look at the actual description, for people who are big cultural heroes, contribute to our culture, it's always actors. It's like Paul Newman gets it and famous.
Would you compare Mariano Rivera to Paul Newman?
No, Paul Newman was a very good actor. Yeah. He wasn't the greatest actor ever in history, but Rivera was the greatest pitcher ever in history.
Closer.
Okay, he could only do an inning. But that is kind of strange, these closers. That's a very weird talent. They can be the greatest pitcher in history, but they can't do it for more than 10 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, don't ask me to get 5 outs. I can only get 3.
But then you get a guy like Ron Guidry who could pitch as good as Rivera, would do the whole game, and by the next year his arm was all burned out and he couldn't pitch anymore.
Right, yeah.
So, anyway, that was a great moment. And the president, he was also great talking. He did a rally last night. Where was the rally?
New Mexico.
And he was great on the New York Times.
Call for the resignation of everybody at the New York Times involved in the Kavanaugh smear story.
Resignation. They're getting promotions. They're getting medals.
This crazy Mueller report comes out. 18 Trump haters, liberal Democrats, some work for Hillary Clinton. They found nothing.
That is pretty good. 18 Trump haters couldn't find a damn thing. But here he's talking about the New York Times.
They've taken the old great lady and broken her down, destroyed her virtue, and ruined her reputation. She can never recover. And will never return to greatness under current management.
There you go.
The old gray lady is now a broken down, you know what. Speaking of that, did you see this Tulsi Gabbard statement?
No.
She says to President Trump, "We're not your we're not your whores." Is that what she said?
Ooh, I didn't see that.
"We're not your prostitutes." Yes, you are. You're politicians, all of you, prostitutes.
Wow.
Politicians. Politicians, that's what they do. They take money from donors, lobbyists. That's what you do. Anyway, we'll get to Cy Vance in a moment. He's a good guy, but he is going to embarrass the hell out of that legendary office. And we'll get to Amazon. They've changed the algorithm. You better be careful. We'll get to that in a moment. Check out the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Hey, Louis Vuitton. Why does it cost so much for a Louis Vuitton bag?
Yeah, good question.
Is it worth it? Here's a CNBC report. Is it worth it? Also, did you know Kellyanne Conway was once a stand-up comedian?
No.
Yeah. Here's actual video of her in the 90s doing it. And then, you know, some famous misheard song lyrics. Here's the top 10 all cut together. Take a look at it. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
He's always a headline ahead.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
710WOR.
Well, let's take a call or two. Let's go to Frank in Staten Island. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good.
Mark, I think this whole article about Brett Kavanaugh came out because I think the Democrats are basically, the term we use is shooting a round across the Republicans' bow saying, listen, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's days are numbered. Anyone who wants to accept this nomination from Trump, we're going to destroy you, because the one thing that stood
out
in my mind
this guy
was
talks. I think it'll just go on forever.
What was when Brett Kavanaugh said he had three loves in his life.
Yeah.
Basketball, the law.
Are you reading this?
No.
Oh.
And he had a coach, and he couldn't coach basketball anymore after all the nonsense that went on.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. What I feel is why they're doing this.
All right.
They're going to destroy the next person that accepts the nomination again.
You're just figuring this out now.
No, I'm not figuring it out.
Oh, my God. No,
I need to get it on the record.
All right. Well, thanks. The record, you may step down. The record will show that whatever the hell you just said. But thanks for calling, Frank. Obviously, they must have gotten a real bad medical report about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That's where they're trying to take out Kavanaugh now. Actually, they have this... going into 2020, they've actually huddled, the DNC idiots, and they've come up with this strategy. They want to make it a three-pronged strategy. They realize they can't budge the Trump voters, and that independents kind of like Trump, not so much that they like the tweeting and all that stuff. They just like the economy. They like the way he's handled the world. But what they want to do is they want to make the election about three branches of government. They want to make it Trump, McConnell, and Kavanaugh. Now, this is always the way the Democrats operate. They always create a demon, some weird boogeyman that you're supposed to be terrified of. Remember when Bush got elected, it was Halliburton. You were supposed to be afraid of Halliburton. It was Halliburton. It was how did Halliburton get these contracts? From the Clintons. That's how. Bush never brought in a single contractor for Iraq. He just kept all the Clinton contractors, Halliburton. But just to prove my point, as soon as Bush left office, Obama took over, and for 8 years, Halliburton got all the same exact contracts. Did you ever hear a word about it? Anybody ever mention? No. So they always create some big demon. So this time it's going to be Trump, McConnell, Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh is this frightening figure that you're supposed to be terrified of. You know who was really frightening? Sean Spicer last night. What the hell is this guy doing? He's on Dancing with the Stars. Sean Spicer. You can't see, but he's dancing to all of this.
I think I've recovered. Yeah, give me a second. He was going bonkers with the bongos. What were you doing there? He was being attacked by a swarm of...
You remember when Sean Spicer, all he had to do was give a press conference, go to the podium and take questions from a reporter, which is what he did before he got to the White House. He did that for the RNC. Even that he wasn't good at. Remember when Sean Spicer would just stand there and put you right to sleep? He stunk at that. So if he can't handle that, why is he on a dancing show?
I feel good. I think Lindsay's made a lot of progress since we started.
Right. We appreciate that from her.
No, honestly, as you saw the package, I...
You know, the problem is all these guys do something, they're very good in their field, whatever they do in real life, and they get themselves suddenly on television, and suddenly they get a little fame, and they love it. They come walk down the street, everybody knows who they are, they walk into a restaurant, they're brought right to the best table. They love this fame, they love this attention. Then when the job is over, they can't go back to their real life. They will not go back to real life. They must stay in the spotlight. You see it. Look at this crazy Scaramucci right now. Look at Sean Spicer dancing with the stars. They won't give it up. If every talk show on cable, if every talk show said we are only booking pro-Trump guests, Scaramucci would immediately go pro-Trump. He'd be the biggest Trump supporter. Anything to get on television. This guy, Spicer... How does this work, Dancing with the Stars? He gets voted off? And
well, he'll probably get voted off pretty quickly.
Okay, but then you'll see him on Real Housewives or something. He'll be on something next. Hey, I like Cy Vance. He's a good guy. Cyrus Vance could be a great district attorney. He's embarrassing himself. It's a legendary office. Robert Morgenthau, for all those years, made that the premier district attorney's office in the country. And Cy Vance shouldn't be using it for cheap little political stunts. That's not Morgenthau-like, and it's not Cy Vance-like. He's a good guy. I think he's just very afraid right now. He's very afraid of re-election and all that. And part of the gimmicky crap you got to do here in New York if you want to win an election, you got to pretend you're trying to screw up Trump. It's not about making a speech against him policy-wise. It's about trying to get him in jail, trying to arrest him. But you shouldn't. It's one thing for the New York Attorney General, Letitia James. Nice woman, IQ about 75, 80 maybe. She has nothing to do. It's a meaningless office. I mean, that office became a joke a few years ago. But New York District Attorney, there is crime, right? We still have crime?
Oh, yeah, plenty of it. Political corruption, too.
Yeah, we have crime, political corruption, politicians stealing. We have crime all over the place. He shouldn't be wasting 1 second of time or $10 million of money in the DA's office to go investigate Trump's date with Stormy Daniels. He's asking for 8 years of tax returns. Here's an important thing to remember. Those 8 years of tax returns were audited by the Obama administration. They were audited by the Obama administration, and the Obama administration found nothing wrong with them. They couldn't find a damn thing wrong with them. Nothing. Mueller looked into those tax returns. You know, they've now found out through hearings that Deutsche Bank has the tax returns. In fact, remember they were trying to, Nadler's trying to get Deutsche Bank to turn them over. Deutsche Bank, obviously, if you're going to borrow whatever it was, $700 million, they're going to look at your tax returns, among other documents. So Deutsche Bank got all the tax returns, and you know what they did when they looked at them? They said, here's your $700 million. So obviously, everything looked pretty good in those tax returns. But Cy Vance should not be wasting our time, and he shouldn't politicize that office. It's never happened before. It's just terrible. I think what Trump should do, and again, this is, well, why doesn't he just release him? It's what I'm telling you. It's like when you take the ball and throw it, and the dog goes and brings it back, and then you throw it again, and you're just keeping the dog busy. I think Trump should announce that he will show the tax returns. If everybody demanding to see them will sign an agreement, that they'll resign the next day if there's nothing bad in them. Nadler, Cy Vance, if everybody will agree to resign the next day if they were wrong about these tax returns, then he'll release them. Hey, when we come back, Howie Carr will be with us. He can explain why Elizabeth Warren made this comeback. We'll get to that in a moment. 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bar.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Howie Carr is one of the great talk show hosts in America, also a best-selling author, great columnist, got a new series of podcasts you'll love. You can get everything at HowieCarrShow.com, HowieCarrShow.com. Howie Carr, how you doing?
Very good, very good. I'm still reeling from Newsweek's big scoop about Pancake Gate. Have you heard about this one,
no,
Mark? Apparently, some distant cousin of Donald Trump's gave an interview to a Scottish newspaper and said when he was over there with his parents, I guess when he was a teenager, what is this, like 60 years ago, 60-plus years ago, he stole two pancakes.
Wow.
Whoa, this is bad. I mean, you know, Jerry Nadler is going to have a, you know, another hearing, another impeachment hearing. This is another count of the indictment and the superseding indictment.
Hey, this New York
pancakes.
But the New York Times story yesterday where they did the whole story and forgot to mention there's no accuser anywhere. There's no victim, no actual accuser. Is that the worst case of journalistic crime you've ever seen in your life?
It's got to be right up there. I heard this morning, too, Mark, that the news section of the New York Times, this story was peddled to it. And they laughed at it and they said, we're not touching this. There's nothing here. And so then they go to the opinion section and they say they're editing. And in the haste, she was on last night with the two stenographers were on with Lawrence O'Donnell last night. You know, I mean, I guess they wanted to go to somebody who's sympathetic to somebody being busted for fake news. And she said, well, in the haste of the editing process, they apparently deleted the fact that there was no there. I mean, it's astonishing. You know, they don't, you know, like even the worst of the New York Times stories during the Russian collusion hoax, you know, that they got the Pulitzer Prize for their deeply reported story, series of stories that about something that didn't happen. They always would put in like the 12th paragraph that thus far there has been no evidence of Russian collusion, comma, but the investigation continues. This time they even, you know, didn't go through that you know fiction of you know issuing the pro forma denial. I mean it was preposterous. And then Mark, I'm sure you've talked about this by now, but how about the tweet on Saturday night promoting the story saying harmless fun with a penis? I mean, what kind of person sends that out? I mean, aren't there any editors? I mean, isn't there some guy with a broom, you know, sweeping the floors who they say, you know, come over and look at this tweet and tell me if this is offensive or stupid? But apparently not. And, you know, the thing is, I don't think any heads are going to roll. I got the feeling yesterday when I was, you know, thinking about this. Do you think anybody at the New York Times is embarrassed about this? I don't think they are.
Hey, you're a newspaper guy. You worked at some of the great newspapers. Wouldn't an editor at some point say, wait a minute, there's no accuser here. Where's the accuser?
I know. And how does it happen? You know, let's take the two stenographers at their word. You know, one of whom, you know, worked for CNBC, you know, home of all the usual suspects, and the other of whom worked at ABC News, home of George Stephanopoulos, Brian Ross, and all that crowd of usual suspects. So, I mean, both of them have rap sheets as long as your arm. But let's take them at their word that they actually did put it in there. And they said, you know, this woman says she has no recollection of it. And that's what she's told friends and refuses to talk. But how come they didn't put in that this lawyer worked for Bill Clinton when he was being sued by Paula Jones for waving his, you know what, in her face? And, and that was actually true. Because he gave her a check for $850,000 and was disbarred for 5 years, so he concocts this story and puts it on Brett Kavanaugh after he represents a guy who really did it and he wasn't drunk or anything and he it's just so preposterous. And then the woman the one Pope Pergrubin,
yeah,
she doesn't mention that she went to Yale with these people, and they call him he's the president of a prestigious nonprofit. No, he's a hack Democrat lawyer from D.C.
Yeah,
you know? he's another. He might as well be working for Perkins Coie or you know, hanging out with you know Glenn Simpson at Fusion GPS Christmas parties.
Also, look at his board of directors, his nonpartisan group, Susan Rice and Company on that board. Just terrible.
I haven't even looked at that.
Oh, yeah. Look at the board of directors.
Susan Rice? Oh, that tells you all you need to know.
Hey, right? Howie Carr, I've been listening to your podcast, Dirty Rats. I'll tell you, one of the most riveting things, I didn't know this stuff existed. You play the actual wiretap. You can hear Whitey Bulger talking about shooting people with his cronies there. Yeah. It's riveting stuff.
Yeah, it's not. It was recorded at the prison at the jail where he was awaiting trial in Plymouth, and he was just talking to his relatives. They were going to play one at the sentencing where he's talking about one of his great regrets was not killing me, and I begged them to play it because I'd be dining out for the rest of my life on that, you know. But they didn't play it at the sentencing, so I can't use it because it's not public record. Yeah. Well, we've also got the FBI training videos that John Zip Connolly made. He was an FBI agent who's now doing life in prison in Florida for an organized crime hit he participated in. And he's talking, giving advice to the young FBI agents, never try to out gangster a gangster. And we got it all on tape because it was all in the trial. You know, it's, I'm telling you, if you're into mob stuff, if you're into political corruption, I think your listeners will really enjoy Dirty Rats. You can get it wherever you get podcasts, or just go to HowieCarshow.com.
Yeah, it's called Dirty Rats. Great stuff. You know, the only problem, though, Whitey Bulger, if I didn't know who he was and I heard that voice, he doesn't sound very tough when he talks. You know, and I told that guy. I mean, if I heard that guy on the phone, I'd be screaming at him. I wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah. No, neither does his partner Stevie Fleming. You know, we recreated his voice, but he doesn't sound all that tough either. But speech patterns can be deceiving.
Yeah, it could be dangerous. If he called me and said, "You better stop that," I'd be yelling at him.
Yeah. If you see, he was pretty menacing out on the street corner. I'll tell you, standing outside his liquor store with Steve Fleming, and you're looking at him and you're saying, "These guys between them killed like close to 100 people,"
wow.
and they're just standing there on the corner, free as birds. Back in the day,
well, check out the podcast. It's called Dirty Rats. Riveting stuff. If you love this subject, Dirty Rats, and then you can go to HowieCarshow.com. You can get that. You can get the column, the books, all the best-selling books, HowieCarshow.com. And Howie Carr, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
All bye-bye. Right, take care. Check the webpage. A lot of good stuff up there. Hey, Louis Vuitton, is it really worth all that money? Is it really worth $3,000 for this little bag or $6,000? What the hell makes it so expensive? Here's a NBC News report looking into it. Also, did you know Kellyanne Conway was once a stand-up comedian? We've unearthed the video from the 90s. Take a look at it. Also, some of the most famous songs have some of the most misheard lyrics. Here's 10 of the most misheard lyrics of all time. That's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/mark. 710WOR.com/mark.